The portion of the scripture for the sermonette this morning is found in the 24th chapter of Acts, reading in the 25th verses as follows. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, Felix sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperaments, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. Go thy way, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for you." You have come to this chapel this morning because you know that you have no right to hear unless it be His word, that you have no right to speak unless you speak for Him, that you have no right to live unless you live for Him, and you have no right to love unless you love Him first and you love Him most. The time in the Bible for these verses is about 60 A.D. And the place was Caesarea, a spectacular scene in the throne room of the Roman governor of Judea, Antonius Felix, and on his arm, his wife, Drusilla, seated in their splendor. The magnificent jewelry of Drusilla, the clothing, the scarlet, the gold of royalty. The Roman soldiers standing there, swords, shield, spear, guarding, protecting. The many servants, the food for these two, the wine. They were in great anticipation, great excitement, because somebody was coming to speak to them. With this kind of a reception, was it a senator, a Roman senator? Was it a merchant? Was it a very wealthy individual? Was it a king? They brought him out. It was a prisoner. A prisoner who had been in the folds of the earth for about 2 years waiting. And what was he in prison for? For being a Christian. And he stepped forward, this man, his eyes perhaps blinking to the light of day, and he saw this brilliance, and he saw these two people, and he knew something, that the Roman governor of Judea had the power to kill him, he and his wife, but he also knew they had the power to set him free. Before I tell you of this portion of the scripture, I would ask for his presence, the Father who has given us this life, this one life here to live, and for the presence of Christ who died that we may live forever, and the power, the comfort of the Holy Spirit who has commanded His word to be preached. And I will use this theme, and he, Paul, spoke to them of his faith in Christ. Let me tell you something about these two people that Paul stood in front of, who had the power to free him, the power to take his life. Antonius Felix. This man had been a slave, and through murder and cruelty and devious plots, he became number one. And Josephus tells us that one time 200 Jews went out to the wilderness to speak of freedom, and he discovered this and he killed every one of them. And we also know from history that three times he led Roman armies against slave countries, and after the defeat of all three of them, the streets were lined of crucifixes. This is the man who called to hear Paul. And his wife? Not really. She had been married at 14 to a foreign king, a Jewess, married to a foreign king, and she left him and now married again, of course, which was adultery. And also she was a Jew. She was forbidden to marry this Gentile. But you might know something too, or want to know what Paul knew about her father, her uncle, and her grandfather. Drusilla's father was Herod Agrippa, who had persecuted the church and had taken the life of James. And her uncle was Herod Antipas, who had the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And her grandfather was Herod the Great, who sought the life of the baby Christ. He knew this. They called him in. Why did they want him? Well, they wanted to hear about what was turning the world upside down, the faith of the Christians. After all, the philosophy's interesting, and they were, like most people, seeking the truth, and maybe it would have some influence on them. They're no different from anyone, especially modern man and woman who has no faith. Just go from one philosophy to another. Modern man says, today it's Monday, and my God is material things. My God is to go out and charge whatever I can and bring it home and try to find a place for it and a use for it. But on Tuesday, because modern man does not have the one unchangeable truth on Tuesday, he reads a book on the Peace Corps and he says, Monday's God is gone, material things. From now on, I give everything up and I join the Peace Corps. He's looking for a philosophy. You know what he does on Wednesday? Well, on Wednesday, he heard a college professor talk about communism, and he said, now I have it. Karl Marx, he's number one leader. But on Thursday night, he slips into an X-rated movie, and he comes out, and he says, it's no longer Karl Marx, it's Sigmund Freud. And then comes Friday, and he turns on a privately owned, radical, ultra-conservative station, and he says, now I know what the truth is. I will be an ultra-conservative, and my motto shall be that nothing shall change ever. But then there's Saturday, and he turns on the radio, and he hears a very, very liberal person. He says, I didn't want to be an ultra-conservative. I'm going to be a radical liberal, and I'm changing my motto from nothing ever changes to everything changes and beginning right now. And you know what he does on Sunday? He looks out the window and he says, what are those fools doing going to church? And I'll answer that. We go to church because we have the one unchangeable truth. We're not looking for this philosophy and for that philosophy. We have one set of values, one right and one wrong, one Ten Commandments, one God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Lord's Supper, one salvation through Christ, and one eternal life. And that's the unchangeable truth that you are going to be accountable for to preach and teach, and you will. So they asked him to speak. What did he do? Did he deny his faith? Did he compromise? Did he beg and plead for his life when he saw these two cruel people? The verses say, he spoke to them of the faith in Jesus Christ. A bold, defiant, ringing faith. What did he say? What do we say today? Same meaning, perhaps even different words. Sin and forgiveness. That's number one. You hear that every time we have chapel here. You'll preach it every time you have the opportunity. Sin, everything it touches, it contaminates. Sin touches food, and there's gluttony, and sin touches clothing, and there's extravagance, and sin touches sex, and there's perversion. Sin touches the lips, and we slander and defame and curse. And when sin touches the heart, anything. Man is capable of anything. But then, thank God, we have the second part, and that's the gospel. That's the good news. Maybe I would say it something like this today. I don't know what's going to happen exactly at the moment of death, but perhaps it might happen this way. The darkness comes over my eyes and my body, and then I awake and I'm standing in the presence of the Almighty God. And in the presence of the Almighty God, at His bar of judgment, I hear my sins being recited to me. But in that terrible moment of agony, someone comes over and places his hand upon my shoulder, and I see those hands, and there are marks of nail print in them. And he speaks, and he says, Father, it's true. Everything you said about him, it's true. But I'm here to cover for his sins. Father, this man, this woman has repented. They are sorry for what they have done, and they have come to me. And I, by my suffering on Calvary's cross, I went not as an example for that person, but as their substitute. And Father, by my blood, yea, a half a drop, I have cleansed them of all their iniquities. Father,
I am solely responsible for them, and let them pass and open the doors of eternal life. That's it. That's the number one priority. And I'm risking my life on the fact that I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit it's true. And therefore death to me will not be the end of life, but only the beginning. And Paul believed that. And he stood there. And he was speaking to them of the faith and sin and forgiveness. And you know, when you preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works upon those who listen. And the Scripture says that Felix became alarmed and troubled and trembled. And he stood up and he said, Paul, that's enough. For now. Some more convenient time, when I have more time, I'll call you back and you tell me more about this Christ. But that's enough now. Take him away. You think Paul was disappointed? Yes and no. Yes, because he wanted to say more. Yes, because he saw how troubled this man was over this message. But not disappointed, because after all we have to do is witness and testify. It's up to God to do the converting. It's up to God to do the converting, not us. But how disappointed he is if we don't do what he wants us to do, and that is to testify. And Paul did. Paul shared his faith. He confessed his faith in Christ. He told the good news. Now, just how important is that? That we share our faith to others. Just how important is that? That we do what Paul did and our members of our congregation. I think I can explain it best by telling you something about the El Shaddai, the Almighty God. The Almighty God, the El Shaddai, can sprinkle that snow on Mount Rainier 14,410 feet high without our help. The Almighty God can shake the insides of Mount St. Helens and the volcano erupts without our help. The Almighty God, through the act of love and in the darkness of the womb and the water and the blood, he can populate the world with bright-eyed babies. The Almighty God can take his hand and cast stars into the Milky Way without our help. The Almighty God can stretch the seas from continent to continent. But hear this. But he needs our help in telling others. He needs our help to witness, to share, to confess the good news of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of all of our sins. And Paul knew that, and Paul was ready to do it, and he did. But they took him away. But he had done. He did not disappoint that love that had loved him so much. We know nothing else of Felix, Antonius, and Drusilla in the Scriptures. But Josephus tells us this, that after 2 years, their time was up, and they left. The Bible says nothing, and he says nothing, that they ever again called in Paul or anyone else to hear about salvation through faith. Josephus said they picked out a magnificent city, because all they cared about now was pleasure, excitement, and the thrills. As far as we know, they lived there without Christ. And without him, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without him, there is no road that leads to heaven. Without him, there is no lamb that was slain for sinners. Without him, Felix, Drusilla, there was no voice that said, Son, your sins are forgiven you. Daughter, your sins are forgiven you. And there they lived, in the things of this world. The name of that city? Pompeii. Pompeii. Amen. And may the love of God and his presence, and may the power of the Holy Spirit give each of us a bold, defiant, sharing, telling faith to others. Amen.